Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today we're going to talk a little bit about Hillary's testimony regarding the Benghazi terrorist attack. Also, an email about the program yesterday, Doug McBurney and I talking in part about Rush Limbaugh. Got an email on that from a listener in Las Vegas. And also, tragically, the Pentagon has decided that our daughters, American women, will be in combat to protect the men. You know, we've seen the feminization of our culture, and sadly, it's also become the feminization of the church, too, the body of Christ. And so here's an example. You got so many men, right, a million men walking around like they're dainty homosexual guys acting like they're girls. And so then you need women to protect them because they're not men. They're like girls. And so now this tragedy, and it's part of the insanity of a world that is in denial of the principles that God has revealed to us and the way that God made us, male and female, as Jesus said from the beginning of creation. So we'll talk about that. The Defense Department saying that women will be in combat. And also a couple, an interesting letter that one of our staffers got from Chicago. And it's a personal matter, but I think you might find it interesting. It has to do with a tenant who doesn't pay her rent to the landlord. In fact, there are two cases I want to share with you. And then I got a letter from a local pastor. And I'm not going to give the name. But the local pastor says that God told her that I need to invite her into my church. And I need to trust her message because it was dictated to her from God. So how do you think through that kind of situation when you hear such a thing? Also, a programming note. An upcoming program. Now we're going to finish, Fred Williams and I, we will be finishing our list of not so old things on Real Science Radio. But then we're going to do a show with a guest, Kevin Lee, from up in the state of Washington, formerly with the Naval Nuclear Program. And Kevin and I are going to answer the question, why do we have so many fossils that are as flat as a sheet of paper? I'm holding one in my hand right here. Brought it in from my kids' science lab, homeschool family. And so of the different kinds of specimens we have fossils like trilobites. And here's a fossil about 3 inches long, flat as a sheet of paper. From, in fact, there are billions of fish fossils as flat as a sheet of paper. Maybe some of them are like paper you'd put in your laser printer. Other are like construction paper that your kid would do a project on. You know, red construction. About that thickness. And there are billions of them just in Colorado, Utah, Wyoming, in one formation. Why are there billions of fossils, animals that were crushed flat and fossilized? So we'll talk about that. We'll answer that question with Kevin Lee. That will be fun. All right. Now, I want us to listen to just a little bit of audio from Hillary Clinton's testimony today about the Benghazi terrorist attack. And let's hear. Now, this is something where four Americans, one, our ambassador, were killed by Islamic terrorists. And so after there's a tragedy, one of the things you do, you debrief the people involved, the people in authority, the people who were witnesses, and you try to find out what happened, and that goes to perhaps preventing something similar from happening in the future. So when you care about preventing something in the future, and if you want to know if there's any blame for a tragedy, for these reasons, you want to know what happened. So that's the question that Hillary Clinton, she's been able to go around the world 13 times in the past 4 years, but she couldn't go about 800 yards from her office to Congress. In what? Has it been 3 months. Took her 3 months to go 800 yards. She's been around the world 13 times. So she could get to Chile. She could get the South Pole, but she can't get to the Capitol. But finally today, she got to the Capitol, and she's in a bad mood. Because I think what happened to her, she almost fell, and she almost had a stroke and all that. Well, anyway, here. Let's hear.
Not the fact. But and the American people could have known that within days, and they didn't know that.
With all due respect, the fact is we had four dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make?
Okay, now we'll hear that again, then we'll hear a little more. But think about that. Hillary's going to say what's important is that we want to... Hillary's going to go on to say that we need to figure out how to prevent this in the future. So she says, so why in the world does it matter how it happened? Right? And so you can tell so often when people are lying. And it's not... With Hillary, she's an accomplished liar. So you're not going to hear it in the tone of her voice. I mean, she's angry. She's losing it a bit, right? She's trying to pretend like this is righteous anger, that her big concern is about the four people who were killed. That's her big concern and how to prevent this in the future. So why would it ever matter how it happened? Why would that be relevant, how it happened? So you see how absurd? So Jesus in the Bible, he shows us by example that when you interact with people, you could press them in ways that even if they're evil, even if they're determined to lie, you can get at the truth very often. Very often. And so our criminal justice system, it doesn't do a good job. We should have the opportunity to try to get answers out of people who are on trial. We don't do a good. We don't handle that correctly. We tell them either you have to answer every question or you can't answer any question. That's what we tell them, right? It's like, why is that? Jesus was on trial and he didn't want to answer questions, so he didn't. But then he heard a question he's willing to answer and he did. So Jesus would answer some questions, not others. So our system, which has an uncanny ability to be exactly wrong on almost everything, our system says, well, you can't, if you're on trial, you can't answer some questions, not others. You either have to answer them all or none. You say you plead the fifth. So let's hear this again.
Not the fact. But and the American people could have known that within days, and they didn't know that.
With all due respect, the fact is we had four dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make? It is our job to figure out what happened and do everything we can to prevent it from ever happening again, Senator. Now,
Stop the tape. So you hear that? So it's, she says, why would it possibly matter what happened? Why? It's our job to figure out what happened and then to try to stop it from happening again. So this is an utter contradiction. An utter contradiction. And on Judgment Day, this is going to be so interesting because when Hillary Clinton stands before Jesus Christ on Judgment Day, we will be there. We'll be there. You know, Judgment Day is, you've ever heard of the day-age theory where one day is as 1,000 years, right? Well, on creation, it's not true. On Judgment Day, it's true. Judgment Day is going to last a long time. I mean, just for the Department of Motor Vehicle, it's going to take 8 months or so, just for them. So Hillary, when she is standing before Christ, we will be there. The Bible says that some men's sins precede them to judgment, and the sins of others follow. And I never knew what that verse meant. I didn't understand that verse. And years ago, Cheryl, my wife, explained it to me. I was so thankful. Some men's sins precede them to judgment, and the sins of other men follow. I didn't get it. And she said, well, you know all the places in the Bible where it says that we will judge on Judgment Day. that God commits judgment into our hands. As the Apostle Paul said, do you not know that you, the saints, the believers in Christ, will judge the world? Don't you know that? We will judge the angels, the fallen angels. Do you not know that we will judge the world? He who is spiritual judges all things. We have the mind of Christ. So Cheryl pointed out, remember, we're going to judge. Believers will judge on judgment day. I said, well, yeah, that's true. I mean, even in the Old Testament, you see that. So, okay, but what does this mean? Some men's sins precede them to judgment, and the sins of other men follow. But I don't get that. And she said, well, some people, we all know what their sins are. Like, let's say Adolf Hitler, right? Gaddafi, Castro, we know their sins. Mao, we know they're not all their sins, but generally we know that they're guilty of mass murder and so on. So when they stand before God on judgment and we are there with Christ judging, well, their sins precede them. It's like that's where we get the saying, your reputation precedes you. So on judgment day, Hillary's reputation precedes her. The sins of other men follow. So we'll see Michelle Obama, right? Her people will be shocked to find out her influence, for example, on the destruction, the dismembering of innocent children, the ruthless, bloodthirsty life of Michelle Obama, that a lot of people will be shocked. They'll be surprised. Her sins will follow her unless people are more aware. So Hillary Clinton's sins, I mean, it's obvious. She is a liar. She's a child killer. She's pro-sodomy. And she undoubtedly, would she support this new policy that the Defense Department says our daughters, remember the daughters of the American Revolution? Well, now the daughters are going to be the ones fighting the revolution. They're the ones in combat now, as soon as this policy is implemented. But let's hear this again and notice how easy it is. So on judgment day, people will sink themselves. You know, Jesus is the rope that people need to hang themselves. He's the rope. He lets them hang themselves. He doesn't want them to, but they will because of their hatred of him and of the innocent. So let's hear this.
Not the fact. But the American people could have known that within days, and they didn't know that.
With all due respect, the fact is we had four dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make? It is our job to figure out what happened and do everything we can to prevent it from ever happening again, Senator. Now,
you're a nut, Hillary.
I will do my best to answer your questions about this, but the fact is that people were trying in real time to get to the best information. The IC has a process, I understand, going with the other committees to explain how these talking points came out. But, you know, to be clear, it is, from my perspective, less important today, looking backwards, as to why these militants decided they did it than to find them and bring them to justice. And then maybe we'll figure out what was going on in the meantime.
She reminds me of her husband, Bill Clinton. When, Mary, he's guilty of all the things he's been accused of by conservative Christians generally. And he called them liars. Hillary called them liars. Hillary insulted the women that her husband sexually assaulted. Remember, she had insult to add insult to injury. They're supposed to care about women and women being mistreated by white men in power, right? What a joke all that is. So Bill Clinton, finally, it was remember his speech? It was the State of Their Union address. Remember? It was address, right? The State of Their Union address. That was it. It was address. And so this dress proved that Bill Clinton was lying to the American people when he looked right in the camera and he said, I did not have sexual relations with that woman. Remember, he said that. He's just lying. He's lying under oath and he's lying in obstruction of justice. And he's the one, wasn't it Bill Clinton who passed the law that had to do with women who are who accuse men in power of making sexual advances toward them, and how they have every right to get to the truth in a legal process. And so he's a hypocrite on like every possible level and dimension. It's all an absurdity. And oh, and by the way, that's when his testimony was being aired on TV. Remember, he started the war on terror that night, that very night. He started it. He bombed some Islamic warehouse, and he said, this is the beginning of the war on terror. It was the beginning and the end. It ended. And what percentage of the Muslim world believe that Bill Clinton bombed that factory? What is it, in Libya, a milk factory or something? I don't know what it was. Bombed it as a distraction for his deposition videotape that was airing that night on TV. You know what percentage of the Muslim world believed he bombed? He was willing to kill Muslims for his own political advantage? 100%. They all believed it. The media in America that are all pro-Clinton, they all believed it. The whole media. They believed it. In fact, the White House press corps, they thought they had entered the Twilight Zone because they went to see a Hollywood movie that day. And the Hollywood movie was called Wag the Dog. And Wag the Dog, I mean, you can't make this stuff up, right? Wag the Dog was a Hollywood movie of a president who was in a sex scandal. And in order to cover up the sex scandal, he started a war. And the White House press corps are together as a group. They're, you know, associates. They went to see the movie. And during the movie, their pagers all go off. Back then we had pagers. If you're young, just ask your parents what a pager is. Their pagers all go off. They go out in the lobby. They all call their, you know, Washington Post and all, NBC, ABC. And they find out that we just bombed a country in Africa with Bill Clinton's sex deposition airing that night. And they thought, we're still in the movie. This is still the movie? We left the theater, but we're still in the movie. And so this is what you put up with. So Bill Clinton looks at everyone and says, I did not have sexual relations with that woman. And then the State of the Union was addressed because Monica Lewinsky produced the evidence. I mean, it's almost biblical, right? Biblically. Like somebody lies about something like that, and the Bible says, well, you know, in the right circumstance, the woman could produce the bed sheets, or the parents could produce the physical evidence to show that the man is lying. And so here it is, or vice versa, or however. And so that's what happened. And she produced the evidence, and the whole world knew that he could lie right at the camera, right to the American people, right during a very significant legal proceeding. And, you know, people often go to jail when it comes to a federal level case for obstruction of justice. They go to jail for that. Unless they're a popular Democrat who rapes women, then you know what executive privilege means, right? Executive privilege in that case means that you can sexually assault and even rape women with impunity and you'll be approved of. That's what executive privilege means for Democrats. So Bill Clinton says that. And by the way, when his presidential library opened in Little Rock, Arkansas, some of us from Bob and Your Live, we went there. I mean, it's a historic moment, right? The opening of a presidential library. How often do you get the opportunity to go to the opening of such a thing? So we went there. We did our part in ruining the event for Bill and Hillary. But while we were there, we got on TV and radio statewide for 2 hours. The state historian sought us out and asked us for one of our yellow flyers because our yellow flyer documented the evidence that Bill Clinton is a rapist and that he raped one of his campaign supporters, Juanita Broderick. So I talked to the state historian for the state of Arkansas, and he is doing a report, the official state history of the opening of the Clinton Library, And I was in shock that he wanted to talk to me. And he said, well, we need that flyer of yours. It became famous that week. We need that flyer for our official exhibit for the opening of the Clinton Library, for our official state record. So we said, well, be happy to. We went to McDonald's. We had our shirts on, shadowgov.com, hosted by kgov.com. It's part of our outreach. And we're at McDonald's, and we're ordering, and a woman behind the register, she says, do you guys have any more of those yellow flyers? Can I get one of those yellow flyers? The whole state knew about the yellow flyers, and it just lays out the case that Bill Clinton is a rapist, and his wife would do anything she could to stand by my man, mock Tammy Wynette, but defend her man who is a rapist. And that's what you get with child killers, right? It's like all the abortionists who sexually assault their own patients in the abortion mill, in the clinic. And so I remember we were at the hotel where most of the dignitaries, there were kings and presidents and prime ministers from around the world there for that event. And we were at the hotel protesting with our huge banners that said Clinton raped Juanita. Huge banners. And we were out front, and Bill and Hillary were coming by, and they so desperately, the police desperately wanted to remove us, to arrest us. So I remember my nephew was there protesting, and he wasn't doing anything. He's just standing on a curb holding a sign. Perfectly legal. Perfectly. 100%. And they arrested him in front of, there must have been 800 people all within earshot, thousands of people around down the block, 800 people. And they said, we said, what are you arresting him for? And they said, he stepped on that vegetation there. You know, the hotel, there's a street, then a curb, no sidewalk, and then plants. Little low plants, like 6 inches tall. No nice flowers, just green, whatever. They were, you know, plants. And so they said he stepped on the vegetation. So my nephew started calling out as they're taking him away in cuffs into the police car. He said, I did not have sexual relations with that flower. And I thought it was sort of funny. But so we did what we could to destroy the air of royalty around the Clintons during the opening of the Clinton Library. And I think it worked. Bill Clinton was interviewed on NBC that night, and he lost his cool. He freaked out. He freaked out. He was angry, and he was angry because people think of him as someone who sexually assaults women. That's why he lost his cool on that show. I mean, he lost his temper. He started yelling at the NBC newscaster. Yelling. It aired. So Bill and Hillary are child killers. They reject Jesus Christ, his authority. They have helped to teach the world that we evolved from animals. There's no right and wrong. God didn't make us male and female. And so women could kill their children, and they go to fight to protect their men. And when you have a man like Bill Clinton, of course you need women to protect him, right? He needs to be protected by Hillary. So, all right, what else do we have? We have this pastor in the Denver area who sent me a letter. She sent it to probably many of the pastors in Denver. And she's quoting Jesus to my pastors throughout the city of Denver. I have prepared my servant, and then insert the name of the pastor who sent me this letter. I've prepared my servant, you know, Pastor so-and-so. You need to open the doors of your church to so-and-so so that I may bless you through so-and-so. And so what do you think of this? Somebody says, God told me to tell you that I have to speak at your church. Isn't that interesting? Like, first of all, why didn't God tell me that you had to speak at my church? Why did he tell you? Isn't that sort of weird? But back when God was doing this in the Bible days, he had a priesthood that could hold people accountable, where if somebody said, thus saith the Lord, and the Lord has not spoken, then that person could be punished. And with something involving stones. And so today, there is no accountability system. So you have false prophets that are rampant, and you have segments of the body of Christ that make themselves very vulnerable to that misrepresentation. It's, you know what it's like to misrepresent yourself impersonating an officer? Imagine in the military impersonating a general. Well, imagine impersonating God. That's what they're doing. Speaking for the Lord when the Lord has not spoken. That's a false prophet. And there's no system of accountability until the judgment seat of Christ. Then it'll be there. Hey, and I mentioned the letter from Chicago. So Connie Sharon, who is our office administrator here at Bob and Yurt Live, she had a tenant. And the tenant didn't pay the rent and owed $700. So the tenant's name was Terry. I'll give the first name, Terry. And Terry moved out of state and moved to Chicago. And so Connie, who happens, I also call her Mom. So my mother, Mom, just showed me the $700 Western Union money order, two of them. I guess $500 is a maximum. And so Terry paid. And what's interesting is we did our best to use Christian principles. And Terry wrote a letter saying how thankful she was for the testimony that my mother was to her. And she wanted to pay her debt. There was another woman, Carmen. Another woman didn't pay her rent. We were at court. And the court was trying to convince Carmen to dispute the fact that she didn't pay the rent. So she's going to appeal it or whatever. And we said to her, Carmen, this is before God. Didn't you not pay? She said, yeah, I didn't pay. And we said, and I talked to Carmen. I said, Carmen, do you want to go into court and say my mother's lying and you paid? She said, no, I don't want to do that. So why don't you just admit to the court that you didn't pay your rent and that you're guilty? And she said, you know what? That's exactly what I'm going to do. And she did that. And she said she was guilty, and she signed. She signed, I confess and that I am guilty. And that resolved it instead of months more of a dispute, landlord-tenant. So Christian principles, it doesn't mean that your life is going to go well, but it means that if you follow God, you will be able to meet each circumstance in a way that pleases him, that honors him. And that is a guarantee for rewards from Christ when you meet him, that he will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. We're out of time. All right. This is Bob Benyard. Our website, KGOV.com.